This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under James D. Reed. My first series, The Storm Below, is now out as a full box set. Today, I'm joined by Kate Seger. She's the author of the Wood Witch's Daughter, an Ethereal Realms novel.
How are you doing today, Kate?
I am doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Just fine. It's Monday and I'm getting over a cold, and so I'm feeling better than I was over the weekend.
Oh, that's good. It's actually very miserable and cold here, so just hold up, hiding from the drizzle.
Oh, yeah. It's a little overcast here, and I guess it's cold. I live in a place that has heating once again, so that's nice. My old place had terrible heating. Like, it had, like, the baseboard vents, and then we blocked them all because it was small. Then it was like, and you had to use space heaters in the winter.
But I'm not a fan of cold weather. I'm a summer child.
Fair enough. So, I always like to start these out with a fun question or two. So, are you a dog person or a cat person?
I have both, and don't tell my cat, but my dog is my favorite.
All right. That's the right answer.
My husband, we split 50-50 on the favorite pet, so they both get their love.
Fair enough. So, Kate, how long have you wanted to be an author?
Forever. When I was a little kid, my mother would take my notebooks away from me at the dinner table and, like, hide them when I went to bed, because otherwise I would not talk at the dinner. I'd be scrawling away my notebook, sleeping. So, kind of what I've always been with.
Fair enough. So, were there no, are you too young to have a cell phone at that age? Are you too, I guess, you're not, you didn't have a cell phone at that age? I'm trying not to.
I didn't have until I was in college.
Okay. Yeah, that's about when I got mine. They were, when I was a teenager, they were giant bricks.
Yeah, those big Nokias, right?
Yeah. They were just, like the iPhone was still, I think, a decade away.
Yep.
So, yeah, we didn't, you had to, like, have dinner with your parents and sit
there. The whole family dinner thing, yep.
So, let's talk about your novel, The Wood Witch's Daughter, which is about, Arionette, who, was lured by a shadowy woman into the ethereal realms, and I'm just curious what this is all about, you know? What makes her a wood witch's daughter? Who the shadowy woman is, what's going on. Let's talk.
Okay, let's. Arianna lives in a kind of a divided world where there's like a veil that separates like the mortals from the magical fae and elves and all sorts of exciting creatures on the other side of the veil, created to protect them. So when the shadowy woman, she meets her, drags her across the veil, just kind of thrown into this world that she thought was all just nonsense and fairy tales. But
okay. So does she know she's like the Wood Witch's daughter at this point, or is that something she finds out after being thrown into this other world?
That's who she is, like, in the world she's pulled from. But when she arrives in the ethereal realms, they're all convinced that she is much more than that. That she's like the answer to a prophecy, and she's gonna turn the tide of this war that's raging. So, the Wood Witch's daughter is her initial identity that she insists that's all that she is, but there's a much larger plan for her.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about her. Like, what's she like? You know, what makes her a great character to read and root for?
Initially, she's very kind of a bit unsure of herself and a little obviously lost because she's been taken to this crazy place that she knows nothing about. And I think one of the great things about her character is that she really grows a lot. It's kind of a adventure of self-discovery for her and finding out who she is. Although does turn a bit dark. I don't want to give too much away, but that sense of self-discovery does turn a bit dark as you go deeper into the book, and as she does discover her true identity. So she's kind of, she's had a long journey.
So we have Arionette. Any other, like, interesting characters?
My favorite character is Morgane, who is the elven queen. She's a very mysterious character. You never really know whose side she's on. She's very morally gray and willing to go to lengths that might be considered evil in order to achieve for what she believes is the better good. And I enjoy writing gray area characters in general, because I don't think that most people are black and white. I think there's a gray area where what you think is a terrible thing, someone else thinks is the thing that needs to happen. So she's my favorite because she lives in that zone of, is this a bad person or a good person? No.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I like writing characters like that. And of course, you got to remember, like, 10% of people are sociopaths who just pretend to be normal people. Mm-hmm. So there's always that you got to remember.
Yeah. There's a couple sociopaths in there, too. I don't know if Dan's really one of them, though. She's more just, she thinks she knows everything, and sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah, that's a scary stat. 10% of people are sociopaths. That's,
Everyone's just pretending to have empathy, I guess.
That's what sociopaths do, because they don't actually have it. That's they're lacking that care for about others. Yeah, although they do tend to gravitate to certain fields. So there is that. But yeah, they're not necessarily going to, like, screw you over, but they're not going to actually care about you.
Yeah, it's basically,
you know,
for their, whatever their purposes are, and you're just kind of a pawn in there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure we all met, like, some, like, petty, terrible people. They're probably sociopaths. But, yeah. So, yeah, the world takes all types. It takes, you know. And then you gotta have the villains that have, like, good motivations and aren't just, like, evil for the sake of evil.
Yeah, I really hate evil villains, to be honest. I really dislike when the villain is just a total jerk for the sake of being a jerk. I feel like they have to have some kind of motivation for why they're being a jerk. Even if it's a bad motivation, they're not just evil. There's most likely something that's driving them to do what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. So you have this title as an ethereal realm novel. Is this, like, the first story in what's planned to be a larger group, or is it, like, a novel that's, like, takes place in an already established universe?
It's the first book of a trilogy. I have the first two out, and the third one, which I need to finish, will be out in February. And then there's also two side novellas, like, that take place focusing on characters who are kind of bit parts in the main series, but who intrigued me enough that I wanted to give them their own little spin-offs. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. So what was sort of the inspiration behind writing this story about a girl who's a wood witch's daughter that gets taken to a fairy realm?
I was actually going to do this completely different paranormal romance for NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. And then I went to bed and I had this dream, which sounds extremely cliche. I had this dream about, like, just being transported to another place. And it didn't have all the same elements that wound up in the book, but that was, like, so I threw away, like, 4 months of pre-writing and world building and ideas for this other thing, which I am eventually going to write, I swear. But I tossed them on the side and just, I was just like, I have to write this one. This is one that's calling to me. So that's what I did.
Yeah, my dreams are never that inspirational. They're very dumb and mundane. So it's not where I get my inspiration from. Unless it's, you know, dreams that I still work for my old job that I quit 7 years ago.
To myself. But they don't really inspire books.
Yeah, no, I have super, super dumb dreams.
Yeah, it's weird how people's subconsciouses do different stuff, I guess.
Yeah, no, I remember when I was a kid, I used to have, like, crazy dreams, but usually my dreams are just, they're just dumb, just daily life stuff or whatever, or they don't make any sense. Oh, they never make sense. That's the point of a dream, but.
A lot of the dream that inspired this made zero sense whatsoever, and obviously was not included, but the the general idea of just like falling into a portal and turning up somewhere else is what stuck with me from the dream, what made its way onto the page.
All right. So how did you write it? Are you kind of like a pantser, or did you plot it out?
I am 100% a pantser. I was a creative writing major and I went to college and, you know, I had to do all of the very detailed outlining and I suffered through it. But as soon as I was done, I was like, never again. And I write very out of order. I just write scenes as they pop into my head and I put them all in separate tabs in Google Docs and then combine them all into Word in the order they see fit, which makes for very messy, rough drafts that require a lot of editing, but it just, my ideas flow better that way. I have ADD, so that might be it.
Well, I have ADD, but I can't imagine writing books out of order.
People tell me that.
I'm like, I don't, my brain, it doesn't work that way. Like I need to be with the character on their journey. I can't understand how they're going to be in a, like a scene at the end of the novel if I haven't journeyed through the novel with them. So
I wind up a lot because I'll write a scene and then realize, oh, this is not actually where this character has decided she wants to go. But I think it's almost like, you know, when you just free write, sometimes my writing process is like, I just have to write a certain scene because it's in my head. And then once I get it out, I can get back to like whatever I was stuck on before. And then sometimes those scenes make it into the book and sometimes they were just my brain purging. But I do a lot of jumping around. But it's funny, everyone's process is different. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Like I can pants, but I have to pants in order.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I do it too much anymore. I'm more plotting these days just because there's just too much. There's too much details that have to be accounted for that I can't miss. So I have to make sure I'm plotting to make sure I'm not missing things.
I've been plotting the third book for that reason, because I'm like, there's a lot of stuff that like loose ends to tie up in this book that I can't leave until later because it's the last book. So I was plotting more on the third book than the first and second book.
Yeah, I had to write the first epic battle I've written in like 4 or 5 years because I haven't written books with that sort of scale. But I got to it in the series I'm working on, and it was 4 hours of pure outlining for like 8 or 9 POVs that are all doing different things and fighting different things, and there's dragons and ground battle and magic flying everywhere, and I had to plot it out because I could never pants that, because there was too many pieces I have to fit together, you know, and I need to understand where everyone's at and how they're progressing. And
in my last, I was like, this is too many. I should have just done one. Now I have to figure out what both of them are doing at the same time. So I can't imagine doing like 9.
Yeah. It's, is it 9? Because there's 2 villain POVs and I think 8 hero POVs. But one of the POVs are kind of, 2 of the POVs are kind of united because they're like 2 characters, but they share a body. So it's really, they're doing the same thing. It's just which one of them is the POV at the time. So their character arc is usually the same unless they're having some internal conflict between them.
Right.
Is just how that character works. So they're functionally a character, but the rest of them, yeah.
Motivations, yeah.
Yeah, but it was crazy because I had like dragon battles and I haven't written something like that. It took me 40,000 words to write it.
Wow.
So it's like it's about half the novel, which I expected it to be.
I was going to say, that's my book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote an epic fantasy series with, like, my last book was 275,000 words. And its final battle that capped the series off took me 70,000 words to write.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know why I kind of kept the word counts down for the sake of, you know, catering to that market a little bit.
I'm going for a... Well, you know, I'm writing like fantasy. I'm going for like 100,000, 90 to 100,000 is where I'm shooting for on the books in the series. And some of them have gone a bit over, but like not too much more than like 105,000. The last book came short at like 92,000. I was like, I was worried I was going to fall short on that one. Because it was a mess. Like the whole battle thing I was originally going to have, like capping off that book. But the more I thought of it, I was like, this battle is too big and stuff happened in this book that took up too much words. And I'm like, right. I could either like try to cram it in at the end or a cliffhang the battle. That was my other option, was just cliffhang the battle. Mm-hmm. But and it also would have meant cutting out this other sequence I wanted. And I decided to make that sequence the finale. And I think it worked a lot better. Because then I didn't have to rush that sequence or cut it. And then I didn't have to rush or cliffhang the battle. It's all there in the, like, it's in the middle of the book. And then there's kind of where I wanted to end that book anyway. So it was fine, because apparently that book would have ended light on plot anyways if I didn't move this massive battle over. So
you also have to worry about the rage. I got a lot of rage because I ended mine on a cliffhanger, and a lot of people were like, how could you do that? I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh, I mean, I don't mind ending books on cliffhangers.
Yeah.
I don't do it on like the first or second one in the series, but like you get to like the third or fourth, they'll end on cliffhangers sometimes. And I'm like, well, I figured you're already invested.
I did it on the first one, and it, you know, people really wanted to read the second one, so I guess it kind of worked, but they were definitely like, I hate you, Kate.
Yeah, my first series had some nasty cliffhangers. Another series, I had a cliffhanger breaking my main character's back in one series at the end of the book. Be like, well, his back's broken now. He's not.
Jon Snow getting stabbed and not knowing whether he's dead or alive.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Martin's just like laughing at us for 12 years now about that one.
Yeah, I know. I started reading that when I was in high school still.
Yeah, I picked up those books. I read those books on a road trip to Las Vegas when I was like 22. And so the fourth book had just come out, I think.
Yeah, only the first three were out when I started reading them.
Yeah, when I started, the fourth book was in hardback. So, and it had that promise that The Dance of Dragons would be out next year.
Yeah, I remember that promise. Yep. Yeah. And all the furthermore promises. Yeah. One day, maybe.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. And then I didn't bother watching. Did they stab him in the TV show?
They did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did. I believe, if I remember, they ended the season with it. So they left that kind of as a cliffhanger, too, for a season.
All right, fair enough. I stopped watching the show after season two, so.
I watched it all, so I regretted not stopping watching it when I got to the last season. It was horrible.
Yeah, no, I've heard the rage. Like, yeah. I had pretty much, like, it had dropped off my radar. And then season eight came around, and it was so much rage about that.
Terrible. Worst ending.
Oh, yeah, no, I heard all about it. I've listened. I was like, man. Like, even if Martin planned that, he would execute it, at least. I had have faith. Like, I believe Martin's a good enough author. He could have executed these ideas, but.
Yeah, the problem was they just threw, like, all the character development to the wayside and made them do things that were just completely, like, out of character and absurd just to push the plot to the end. Like,
yeah, well, they were done. They were like, we were done. We don't want to do it any longer.
Exactly. It was just trying to force the end to come, but, like, the characters weren't where they needed to be for that ending. But TV's never as good as the book, so it's not really.
That's true. That's why I'm skipping out on the Wheel of Time TV series. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to.
I'll probably try it and be disappointed, but I guess
everything I've heard about it, its production is like, yeah, no, I'm on it. I'm just, I don't want to. Just, I'll read. I got the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those books.
So, you got the next book for the final book for the series is coming out in February, you said?
Yes, that's coming out in February. And I have a little thing going on in December, too.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
I did like three retellings, very dark, dark retellings of fantasy or fairy tales. Red Riding Hood and 1001 Arabian Nights and The Little Mermaid. So I'm doing like a rapid release of the three of those like every 2 weeks. They're just novellas, but
you have a darker version than the original of Little Mermaid.
It's as dark as the original. I don't know if it's darker. It's hard to get darker than that one. It's different because obviously it's, you know, a retelling, but it's pretty dark.
All right. Fair enough.
Devouring souls thing about it. So.
Well, I mean, you know, she could have murdered that guy to, you know, be a real person. They left that out of the Disney adaptation.
They left a lot out of the Disney adaptation, which is understandable because I was little when I saw that movie, and I think I would have been really upset if I saw the real version on screen at my age. So I think it's fair that they did that.
Well, it was really great talking with you. If you want to let our listeners know where they can connect with you on the internet.
Basically everywhere at Kate Sager Author. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My Facebook group is called Court of Dreams. I'm on TikTok, but I have no idea what I'm doing. So it's mostly just stupid trailers. But if you like stupid stuff and book trailers, I'm there. Yeah.
All right. Well, it was great talking with you, Kate.
Thank you. Good talking to you, too.
You have yourself a good one.
Yeah.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.